probably the primary thing is to support and tell your friends.
Right on. So Michael Wells, KBOO Board of Directors, KBOO Treasurer, thanks a lot for being with us tonight.
Oh, it's a delight, and perhaps the official questions for this are printed out by now.
Perhaps they are. And thank you for listening. This is KBOO Portland.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO at the Clinton is our monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, Pinkwashing Exposed, will play Thursday, June 9th at 7 p.m. Pinkwashing is a term used when entities engaged in terrible human rights violations promote themselves as gay-friendly to improve their public image. Israel is the country most famous for this strategy. Pinkwashing Exposed explores how pinkwashing works and what activists are doing to fight back, including activists from Seattle who succeeded in 2012 in canceling high-profile queer events and more. Again, that's Pinkwashing Exposed. Thursday, January 9th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Prince vs. Bowie Memorial Bike Ride on Saturday, June 11th. Put on some purple, grab your dancing shoes and a bicycle for a rock and mobile dance party with Diablo. We'll gather at 7 p.m. at Sewell Crest Park on Southeast 32nd Avenue, just south of Hawthorne. More information at kboo.fm under Community Events. Again, Prince vs. Bowie, Saturday, June 11th at 7 p.m.
Coming up next, we have Right to Survive Radio.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Oh man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you.
I'm your host, Lisa Fay, welcoming you to another episode of Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM. In tonight's show, we are back in San Jose, California, for an interview with the former unofficial mayor, Robert Aguirre, from a place called The Jungle. The Jungle, inhabited by people from the houseless community, estimating 300 or more lived and survived in Silicon Valley, came to an end as we learned that only 25 to 30 people became housed. The city of San Jose made empty promises as they shut down, swept, and forcibly evicted the houseless residents. Since then, people scattered. Some formed new communities, one called Jurassic Park. However, upon our return to San Jose last month, we learned that they too are facing eviction. Right to Survive had another reason for returning to San Jose last month as well. Our documentary film of how Right to Dream 2 began and what it has meant to Portland's houseless community to be members was shown at the International Japanese Film Festival. This was a big honor to be selected and to be able to present and interact with people from all over the world. And in doing so, Right to Survive, represented by Ibrahim Mubarak and Keiki Alexandra, learned of the $450 million the city of San Jose has set aside for houselessness and the lovely people and organizations wanting to help. Some of them with solid plans and concepts that they want to incorporate Right to Survive in their work. Here are some facts about San Jose. Cesar Chavez settled in San Jose after he served in the military. Cesar Chavez was an organizer of migrant farm workers and helped them create a labor union. San Jose is the most expensive place in the country, with monthly rents averaging $1,750. The average home cost setting at $750,000 upward. Despite low poverty rates and lots of education, San Jose has the fifth highest houseless population in the nation, with estimates of over 750,000 homeless individuals. The job market of San Jose includes 7,000 tech companies, making this city the most concentrated tech center in the entire world. $450 million allocated for the homeless without a solid plan to end homelessness. Returning from San Jose, Ibrahim Mubarak brought back Robert Aguirre for a short stay at Right to Dream 2, where Robert learned firsthand just how we implemented what we captured in our documentary.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And today we're in San Jose, California, and today I'm here with
Robert Aguirre.
Robert Aguirre, what brings you today?
Well, I'm a advocate, organizer, and activist for the homeless in Santa Clara County.
And how long have you been doing this type of work or gig?
Well, I've been doing this in this particular area for about a year, but I've been involved in social justice for much of my life.
And tell me, how are the people here treated that's living on the street that's been displaced from how?
Well, there's a lot of criminalization of homeless. There's a lot of negative attitude, a very strong NIMBY culture that goes on here. We have a society here where we are one of the wealthiest, I think we are the wealthiest county in the United States, and this was also the home for the largest homeless encampment in the United States. So it's a tale of two cities, basically, where you have the haves and the have-nots, and the have-nots are growing larger and larger every year.
So, I didn't notice I was walking past a sign that said, Welcome to San Jose, capital of Silicon Valley. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, this is pretty much where everything really got started, and San Jose is pretty much the housing community for the Silicon Valley, so people live here, but they go work in Mountain View or they go work in Palo Alto or different places all over, even San Francisco. And you see these huge buses that bus people around all the time. They're private buses that are owned by Cisco and Google and eBay and all. And well, they're not owned by them, but they're contracted to bring their employees in. The people that can't afford to live here actually live somewhere else, and then they're bussed in and they're bussed out. And but they're private buses.
All right, man, let me tell you something. my opinion, ever since I've been back, our homeless population has gone up to the increase of these high jobs, high things we can't pay them, man. But they want to get rid of them because what? They do no good to our society. We're humans. We're humans, man. People stop thinking like humans, man. And I'm sorry, my name's Jose Segura. You might not know me. But I'm just speaking from the heart, man. Because a lot of people don't acknowledge something that's really hurting. And they're just caring about it. I know you got to take care of yourself. But in order to make this world survive and make it work and everybody collide, it's to help another. You never know what you might receive from it. Putting these laws in, quit making this assumption that we need to wipe out the population, because we don't. We can make it work. It's called a team. People that come together, United Nations. We're talking about big people around the world, man. You know, we have this government. Me, which and I don't believe in that. I don't have a justice or something. I call myself, I can feel protected, because the only person that protects me is myself. Not the cops, not anybody, but myself, by the choices I make in life. I don't know, man. I'm very sad and I'm very sick from my stomach that I hear about what they're trying to do to the homeless people, man. It's not right. It's wrong. It's very wrong, man. And I'm speaking from the truth, man, because I hear about this, I watch this, and I look up things, and I see people from day-to-day basis, man. I go to work right here. This is where I reside and where I came from. And it breaks my heart, man, that they just want to throw these people away like they're just garbage. So, you know, I hope my message gets out to the people that actually care. Because I'm starting to believe that, you know, the system is trying to make people believe that they're no good for us. And that's why I don't watch the news. The news is not what you believe it is. Thank you. And I'm sorry, man. This is my opinion to you, though. Well, I didn't know my way around, but I figured if I was good, they would welcome me into the hood. Well, I had no intention to run, so I had to find myself a job. Looking in here, looking up there, looking around, but there wasn't no employment to be found. Some men would start to cry.
You would think that if this is the capital, Silicon Valley, which everybody using Twitter, Facebook, the internet, the cell phone, just like America, supposed to be the richest, powerful country in the world. And it shows that homelessness is everywhere, housing is everywhere. Wouldn't that be something that these rich 1% of people can do about houselessness here?
Well, there's a difference between will and ability. Okay, so if you have an ability and you have no will, then it's never going to happen. Okay, so it takes the will. And what has happened here is you have these companies that pay their employees very, very high salaries. And because they are paid high salaries, they can afford to pay higher rents. And what ends up happening is the landlords realize that they put an ad in, you know, Craigslist or wherever, and they'll get a bunch of different people coming and applying, and they just bid against each other until eventually the rents are raised so high that the average working person who works for one of the contractors that, for example, provides landscaping or kitchen help or custodial help, they cannot afford to live here because they aren't paid the same kind of salary. And therefore, they get priced out of the market and eventually end up either having to move out of the area or lose their homes completely.
So what we're talking about is what every city is talking about. Things is not affordable for the common person.
That's true, but this is the focal point. This is the origin of all that. Because this is where all those dot-com companies came from. This is where all those electronic companies came from. Intel and, you know, AMD and, you know, Shugart. All the early computer industry started here, and then it turned into the dot-com industry, and then that turned into these, like, Facebook, the social media, and we also have a lot of biotech going on here, Genentech and so forth. And so these new technologies that are coming in are creating millions and millions of millionaires as these companies go public. So there's a lot of money that's being generated here. But unfortunately, most of these companies are incorporating outside of the United States. So therefore, they're not paying their fair share of taxes. And then so now the infrastructure starts to crumble because we don't have the support of these companies that are given pretty much a tax break to be able to stay here. And they threaten to leave if you're going to raise their taxes. So they're kind of holding the city hostage. change. But it's a moral dilemma, and it's creating a serious housing crisis of which likes no one has ever seen before. And we're starting to see little glimpses of that throughout the country. For example, in Detroit, you had the auto industry and, you know, what happened there, demise, just totally decimated that whole area. And, you know, Flint, Michigan, same thing happened there. And, you know, it's happening across the country in little pockets here and there. But this is right here continues to grow because there's new innovation, there's new business, there's new money that's coming in. So that continues to spin. And as it continues to spin, more and more people are getting spun off and they're getting lost in the process.
Like when I was young, we used to have pop the whip, everybody grab hands, and right, the last person gets spun off in it. Now tell us, I mean, there's been lots of misconception about these cities come up with these great plans to help the houseless community. Like in Utah, they're supposed to put everybody in houses first, but they perceived they was going to put everybody in there, it's going to get this money and put all the houseless people in homes first, and it didn't happen. They only a little bit of that population went. Tell us what happened when they closed the jungle down.
Well, at the time of closing the jungle, they decided that they were going to provide 200 housing vouchers. There were 300 people that were living there, so they, from the very beginning, they didn't have enough to really solve the problem. And if the city were going to be planning a park, for example, they wouldn't come up with 2/3 of the money and then start building the park. They would wait till they had all the money and then actually do that. They didn't do that with the jungle. They were getting a lot of pressure from the Water Quality Control Board and the regional offices in Oakland. We went and talked to them and they said, well, we didn't tell them to shut the jungle down. We told them to clean it up. And so their way of cleaning it was just getting the people out of there. And if you've ever been back there again, you'll see that it's never been cleaned. It still has a lot of pollution and things that are there. So they haven't really gone back and done what they should have done. And the other thing that happened is when they ran everybody out of here, and I professed this before it happened, homelessness soon coming to a neighborhood near you. And this is exactly what happened, and people started going out to all different parts of the city, and they were going to neighboring cities, and as a matter of fact, the mayor was suggesting that people go to Gilroy, which is in the South County. The mayor of Gilroy didn't appreciate it, but, you know, a lot of people did go. As a matter of fact, their numbers have risen by 213, according to the 2015 point of time count that was done. So we know some of the people have gone that way. But the other thing that has happened is that people have become more and more separated, and that creates a lot of tension amongst people, a lot of distrust, because you don't have a community of people that you can have near you, that you can watch your back. And so consequently, there's all this survival mode that people are in, and they can't really work on their individual problems. And it just creates a lot of chaos. And in turn, because they're being chased from place to place, which I call whack-a-mole, and they get chased to another place. And every time they get chased, it costs the city around $10,000. So there's a lot of money that's being spent and no result, because people don't want them in their backyard, but as soon as they get chased out, they're in someone else's neighborhood. And then they get chased out into someone else's neighborhood. And this is just a game that goes on and on with no real result at the end.
So he saves like 300 people and it costs $10,000 to chase at least one person out of a neighborhood. Do the math, folks. They spending all that money. Why can't they get land to have an encampment site where people can build community and be productive?
Well, this area is probably one of the most expensive areas for real estate. And you go and you look at a property, and if you see something that's selling for $100,000, you're probably just paying for the front lawn. You know, you're not really buying the property itself. So what ends up happening is you end up with a lot of people that can't afford to buy property. And the city is trying to do whatever they can to try to help out, but there's just no property available. And private owners aren't interested in selling or renting to homeless people, even though they themselves are not paying for it. They know that eventually they're going to be moving in. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of negativity towards people with Section 8 vouchers. And as I mentioned earlier, the 200 vouchers for the jungle, they were only able to house 144 people at the closing of the jungle because there's no housing available. Even with the vouchers and all the programs and the case management and all the wonderful things that they thought they were going to do, they still were unable to meet their goal. And even today with the Housing 1000 program, they haven't been able to house 1,000 people. They've housed 847 or something like that people. So they can't can't even do it with their resources. What chance do people on their own have?
Are people being criminalized for sleeping on the streets, or is it in public restrooms or places they can take showers? Is it illegal to feed people here that living on the streets or sidewalk?
Well, there are a few spotty places around town where people can go take showers. There's a few places where people go and they can use the restrooms, but most businesses have these little signs up that say, you know, you have to be a customer and we reserve the right to refuse service. And, you know, so there's a 7-Eleven that I know of that just refuses to do business with homeless people. They don't care how much money you have, whatever. A guy bought 5 pizzas and police had to come and escort him out and had him wait out in front while they cooked his pizzas, and then they delivered it to him outside because they didn't want him inside. I mean, this is the sort of thing that goes on here. It's wrong. Yesterday, I got a phone call from somebody who was given a ticket for trespassing that was on a walking trail, and it's just because they were homeless, right? So there's a lot of criminalization of people, all sorts of different things. There's a park close by here. It's called St. James Park, and they have a sign up there, and item number 15 says no feeding or giving of clothing to people, and that's because the churches come there and they do that. Well, the churches are exercising their religious right to be able to do that. I mean, they're commanded to do this sort of thing by their faith, and yet the city has got this rule up there. And what I did is I went and I pointed out to them that that rule, that law has not, that ordinance has not been passed. So even though it's not been passed, they have the sign there, and the park rangers go and point to it and tell the people, you can't serve food here, you can't give out food here, because look, it's written right here. But just because it's written there doesn't mean anything. So what I do is I educate people, and through education, through knowledge, you can beat these people, because they themselves don't even know that. So I tell them exactly where to go on the internet so they can look it up, and they can say, look, you see, it says pending. Pending does not mean that it's been passed. It means that it's waiting to be passed or waiting to fail.
And, you know, just on this note, I just heard you say that no feeding people, no giving them clothing. Don't that sound like when you go to the zoo, don't feed the animals, don't pet the animals?
Well, that's true. And as a matter of fact, it's really sad, too, because we do have busloads of people that come by and they take pictures and they stop and they look at encampments and, you know, let's go see what the monkeys are doing today, you know, that sort of thing. And people do encourage people to help homeless people. But what ends up happening is people massage their guilt by coming on holidays. For example, on Thanksgiving, we had more food than we knew what to do with. People were showing up with turkeys and pies and all that. And down in the jungle, I was walking around and I saw an entire pie with just a handful of pie taken out of it, and the rest of the pie was thrown away because it was too much food on one day. And I implored people. I said, please come back tomorrow or come back next week. Don't do it all today. And people were insisting on doing it because all they're trying to do is just assuage their guilt.
I'm here in America in the beautiful city of San Jose, California. I got here Thursday morning. From the minute I got here, I was rushed to some events where they was having a demonstration. We call it a protest and rally, but it's laws against the book, you can't have it. So they call it a demonstration where you demonstrating something. So we was demonstrating on how people are becoming houseless, how the government are tearing up communities and neighborhoods. I spoke at that rally and I let them know that I was here to speak at the Japanese Film Festival in San Jose, California, and also to speak to a lot of the houseless community and some city and county commissioners and Waterworks Department and the faith base. So I attended a meeting because this was Housing Awareness Week. And what I heard was that a lot of people want to do something, but they want to do it their way and they don't know what to do. That was the first day. The second day I met with a nice Chinese lady named Leah, and she explained to me how this is the richest city or county in America and the 8th richest city or county in the world. And they allocated $450 million to help the houseless community. And what she was saying is organizations that's already helping the houseless community, but they don't know how to do it. Where they got people, if you get off of drugs and can stay crime free, you can get housing.
But what's happening, they don't have no place for those people to stay in the meantime. So most likely they go back into the streets and get with their old friends and start using again. So she called Right to Survive the Missing Link, where we can come here and help consult a rest area like Right to Dream 2, where people can stay in and they don't have to go back in the street. They can get all this training and education and get work. And once they learn how to be, get back into public without using drugs, without stealing, without having not to take a shower, without having to take all their belongings with them, they can get housing. And in that, they have a mentorship. And so they want Right to Survive to come tap in some of that money to pay us to show them how to organize the houseless community. The third day I was here, we talked to some organizations and the houseless community again. We went around there and started seeing a film. We went to the film festival and we saw some good films on what was happening to the Japanese American in this country, the same thing what happened to the African American, the same thing what happened to the Native American, and how even though the structure, the struggle and the resistance went about a different way, but it's the same thing. So what I learned was that Ronald Reagan did something where he was kind of forced to sign restitution to give all the Japanese people money, but then the next year when he left office, they knocked it back down and they only gave about 25 people from the Japanese community restitution. I think that was like now $20,000. Now this day, it was still the Japanese Film Festival. They show Exodus from the Jungle, and we had a packed house. We had commissioners, we had faith-based community, we had people, the community, we had the houseless community, we had organizations, we had business people, and they was all interested in this film. And so it showed how the city lied to the houseless community, over 400 people living in one spot, saying we're gonna give you all housing, and only 35 people got housed. And everybody else, they tried to put places up and they kept being swept. So they scattered all over, still living in the streets. Well, the summer was turning to fall. I had a corner by the shopping mall. Started plucking on my sixth string, thanking God that I knew how to sing. Then along comes this here cop, and he tells me that I have to stop. I said, you must be on some kind of trip. He said, let me see your permit. I said, I've got my permission, no question. I got permission for the tears that I cry. We're here in San Jose. This is called Jurassic Park, and I think you got about six people dwelling in here. And so what happens, there's nowhere for them to be on the street, so they being chased out here into the wilderness. And I took some still life of the people, and they accommodating themselves well. However, along with good comes bad. You got to have that, you know, balance of good and bad, and then you're in between. So this is a good dwelling. This is good because they build they stuff underneath the bushes, and they build like encavement sites where it keep them warm in the wintertime and cool in the summer. The thing I didn't see was like they could have put tarps up on top as a roof with poles to stop the rain from coming in there. And they did trenches along their dwelling instead of having pallets so the rain can go, or the water can go around and not in their tent. However, I still think they need pallets for just in case safety measure. So they saying they're gonna get swept out of here next week, and they don't know where they're gonna go. So we're in San Jose, California in Jurassic Park. This is like the Jungle Part 3.
Don't matter where you come from, don't you know that you could be the next one? Said, who are the homeless people?
Have you ever heard about RAP in San Francisco, Western Regency Advocacy Project? And if not, they're doing something called the Homeless Bill of Rights.
Right.
And right now, they program the Right to Rest Bill. And have you done any work with them?
As a matter of fact, I did go to Sacramento on that. And Senator Jim Bell was a head of that committee. And we went and we spoke. It was probably about 50 or 60 people that spoke to that. And then they offered the people from the businesses to have an opportunity to speak. And every time we have these types of discourses with people, on not just on this subject, but anything having to do with homelessness or rental rights or anything like that, the people with the money always talk about protecting their money. And, you know, this is our investment and we're going to lose money and all this stuff. And we're saying, we're talking about people's lives here. We're not talking about money. We're talking about the right to rest, the right to have a place to live, the right to not have your rent raised so much that you can no longer afford to live there. There was a story that came out in Los Angeles yesterday, I believe, where some guy had rents for $1,800 something a month for these apartments, and then he the next day he raised it to $3,000. Okay, that's a huge jump. But the reason he did that is because he wants those people to move away so that he can sell the property. We have the same thing going on here in Palo Alto with a mobile home park, Buena Vista Park, where the owner decided he wanted to sell it, and the people said, okay, the property's worth about $12 million, we'll raise it $12 million and give it to you. And he says, well, no, I have this developer over here, he wants to pay me $35 million for it because he's going to put in this high rise and the values are going to go up, so we're going to pay you guys the value that it is today so that you can leave, and then I'm going to turn around and sell it and I'm going to make all this money, right? And I don't care where you go, just don't go here. So this is a sort of attitude that people are having where they're more focused on their own greed. And, you know, I weep for this nation. We are steadily going downhill in a handbasket and there's no brakes. We're just losing it.
There you go, folks. I was saying it all along, corporate rights supersedes human rights. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
My friends don't come around me because I've been so blind. I can't borrow nothing, not even a dime.
And then when we showed them Right to Dream 2 DVD of how when people do come together as a community and how they network and how they learn to break barriers and become successful. Oh man, you should have seen them. Really? Is this really going on? Is it working? I use myself as an example. Keke Alexander used herself as an example. And now they don't want us to go home. They want us to stay. They want us to come in. I said, but I have two organizations, Right to Survive, Right to Dream 2. And plus, Paul Bolden from RAP came, and we talked about the Homeless Bill of Rights. And since I'm chairman of the board of RAP, I also have responsibility for them. However, if they going to pay me and our organization, I will do my priorities. So San Jose, I think it's like in a lot of places where they got money, they want to do something, they don't know what to do, so they want to do it their way. And it's the same way they've been doing things. They ain't realizing that it's not getting people productive. It's just providing a place for people to sleep. We need a place where people can fall asleep, leave their stuff, do things, and be taught how to be productive again. And that's the difference from Right to Dream 2 and any other shelter in the world. We educate the community on how to become productive again by the way they know how. So, the beautiful San Jose sky, everyone. We're here enjoying ourselves. We have sushi, we have sake, we have plenty of good company. And not only that, some of the city officials, some of the faith-based community, some people from the organization, the houseless community, some people from the business community are coming to Portland, Oregon when I get back to see our model. They heard about it, they seen it on DVD, they was told about it, it was explained to them about it, now they want to see about it. And now I hope once they see about it, they be about it.
Welcome, welcome. You're listening to Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM, and I'm your host, Lisa Fay. We just finished the first half hour of our show, hearing about the struggles of the houseless in San Jose. I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge that most of the music breaks you have heard tonight is a song from a local houseless gentleman. His only request was that he could be heard singing on our show. Thank you for letting us use your material. This is a beautiful song. In this next segment, we will be interviewing people from the rest area who had the opportunity to interview and learn from Robert Aguirre and the councilman Tan Nguyen, who followed Robert back to Portland and is a champion of creating more rest areas, 10 altogether in the San Jose area. Now, let's get back to our show. Listen in.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio here in Portland, Oregon on Ground Zero on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And the topic of our show is visitors from San Jose. And today I'm here with
Chelsea Sellers.
And Chelsea Sellers, you're houseless, right?
I am currently houseless, yes.
And how long have you been living on the street in abandoned buildings, cars, or people's couches?
On and off for over 10 years.
Okay. And you happen to come across Right to Dream 2 in downtown Chinatown, Portland, Oregon.
How did I come across it? I was here when they first opened the first week, and basically it was word of mouth. People were saying that Right to Dream 2 was a great place, a safe place that you could come and sleep. And so we came, and me and my husband, we came and checked it out and came in, and it was everything that everybody said it was.
Now, are you finding different things that you didn't know? Do you have, is it a good support system? Are you getting informed on your constitutional, civil, and human rights?
Yes, I'm currently a member here, and I go to meetings, and at those meetings, they teach us about our constitutional rights and different programs that are connected to R2D2.
Okay. This model may not be for everybody, but everybody not for this model. Right. So, how do you feel when people from different states and different cities come and want to know what it's about and possibly create one in their state or city?
I think it's a great idea. This place helps at least almost 100 people a night. I think that tent cities should go up in every city because they help people out and it's a safe place to sleep. The people who stay here and work here also help. It's just a good place all around, really.
So when we had the council person from San Jose and the advocate for houseless community, you had conversation with them. What do you think about them? Do you think it was brave for a council person to come way here to sleep inside a houseless outdoor shelter or rest area?
Well, definitely, because they, you know, if they're coming here and seeing how it is, they need to see the real how it is. And so when they come here and stay, they see how we do check-ins, they see how this place really runs. If they don't come here and stay, they only see certain parts and certain aspects of how this place works. So when they stay here, they get the whole gist of what this place is about and what we do.
So you had conversation with them. What was that conversation like? I mean, you even the question they asked or the amazement on how well this place, the people, the houseless community is organizing themselves. I mean, can you elaborate on those conversations?
Most of the people from San Jose were very surprised at how this place ran. They were very hopeful on putting these type of tent cities down in San Jose and in other cities. I did a tour with them and we talked about how everything goes around here. And I think that they were very hopeful and that they wanted more tent cities around and in San Jose. But yeah, I think tent cities should really be in every city because, you know, people sleeping out on the streets, they're not safe. It's, you know, a lot of people just won't sleep on the streets. They stay up at night. They, you know, this place is a safe place for them to come. So yeah, the people that came from San Jose, I think they were really informed, and hopefully that, you know, we can go down there and have some more tent cities down there and help the homeless down there, the homeless and houseless.
So you talked to the congressperson, which he's political, and you talked to Robert Gary, which he's an advocate for houseless community. Mm-hmm. Did you find some of the same questions or concerns coming from both of them, or were they both going in a different direction?
No, both of them were going kind of in the same direction. I believe, I think that they were both advocates of the homeless and houseless, and they really wanted to help everybody out. So yeah, I don't really remember all of our conversations because we were really busy at the time and the meetings were kind of, a lot of people were there. But other than that, I think that everyone's going in the same direction and yeah, we need more tent cities.
So do you think it's hopeful that they may have one or accomplish on doing one, that they may create a model like Right to Dream 2, if that's what they hope for this, that it sound like when they was here?
I don't think that every model is going to be the same. Every model is probably going to be a little bit different because every city's a little bit different. People are a little bit different. There's different aspects of what the homeless need in different cities and different areas. So, hopefully we can get tent cities up more down in San Jose. But until then,
So we're hopeful that we may be
very hopeful,
going nationwide.
Yes. Yes. Nationwide, okay. For sure, yes.
Right. Thank you much.
You're welcome.
If you don't got no shoes, you got nowhere to run. When I first came to this town, well, I didn't know my way around. But I figured if I was good, they would welcome me into the hood. Now I'm living out on the street, searching garbage for the food I eat. Pretend that you're deaf and dumb. Don't you know that you could be the next one?
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO 90.7 on your radio dial. Today, we're in Portland, Oregon on Ground Zero in the Houseless Community discussing visitors from different cities and states. And today I'm here with...
Hi, my name is Ibrahim. I'm from Right to Dream 2. So I work, you know, with the Right to Dream 2, Right to Survive. So I'm so happy here, you know, because hopefully, you know, I like to help the other people.
My name is Aaron from Right to Dream 2.
My name is Gordon from Right to Dream 2.
Okay. You all been here for a while, and you know the operation of it. The question is, I want to ask you all, when people from different cities and states come to stay overnight here to see how this, how the rest area operate, how do that make you all feel?
It makes me feel good. I think they think we're pretty organized here.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. It's probably pretty good to know that they come to you for advice on how to do it. It means it works for you and us.
Yeah, so I feel, you know, good. I feel very interested, you know, because they find spot to sleep, you know, and for a whole night, you know, and they feel better in Right to Dream too.
Yeah. So did you have conversation with any of the people that came from San Jose, California? And what was that conversation like?
The conversation is, you know, so the tent city is growing up in San Jose, so they help the people, you know, and they take care for them. So the homeless people, you know, they find what they want, you know, and so they feel good right there, you know.
And so what was the conversation like with you, Gordon, that, yeah, with Robert?
It was very interesting. He said he wanted to start, 10 of these down in San Jose. So he wants to use us as the model.
So when somebody come here and look at something that you help construct and you help operate, does that make you, I mean, you don't see something, you it's just okay.
Right.
But then when you see and people come to see you and they conversate with you about it, do that put, I don't want to put words in your mouth. So again, I'm asking you, how do that make you feel?
It makes me feel good, you know. We have a pretty good model here, really.
And Aaron, do you hope that this type of model, I mean, do you think this type of model is for every city or every houseless community, and if so, why not? If not, why not?
Yeah, it could be for every city, but I'm sure the law enforcement in some cities and the high brass people find some way to keep it out of their cities if they just plain don't want it.
But do you think this model of work in different cities?
Yeah, it would. Yeah, it works. But it's like everything else. You've got to work it to make it work. I guess that's the right way to say it.
I guess so. You got to work then. So, Abraham, by you coming from another country, and I want to ask you that. Is houselessness from your country where you come from?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so do they get harassed like the houseless people here?
Yeah, no, so they get the houses for the people, but you know, so it's take time. So it's take time and you have to do the process and you have to have a hope, you know, to encourage yourself, you know. And
So do you think a Right to Dream too would be good in your country?
Oh yeah, would be, you know, would be so good in my country, you know. So that's a very interesting, you know. So that's a good place, you know.
So would you ever think about taking this idea back with you if you ever go visit?
Oh, sure. Sure, that's a good idea, you know. So I think that's a good process, you know, for the people, you know, very interesting.
All right, thank you. All right, that's it. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's a story about a bright young man trying to do the best to understand. It's a story about taking your knocks down in Kingston, L.A. or the Bronx. Hip-hop, bebop, reggae, swing, Lundy music gonna make you sing. It don't matter where you come from, don't you know that you could be the next one? Said who? Garbage for the food I eat. You pretend that you're deaf and dumb. Don't you know that you could be the next one?
This is Right to Survive Radio, an extension of Right to Survive Incorporated, a Portland-based organization that is leading the fight to end the criminalization of homelessness here in Oregon and across the nation. Right to Survive is one of three local organizations spearheading the Houseless Bill of Rights campaign. HBRC plans to reintroduce our bill into legislation in the coming 2017 session. Friday, June 10th, is a huge day for Right to Survive. Our sixth annual Pitch a Tent Direct Action will once again line 4th Avenue with tents for the houseless to be able to see the Rose Parade and, more importantly, have a good night's rest after food, speakers, entertainment, and movies. The city buys a permit for the homeowners to come camp out along the parade route, while the houseless are criminalized for survival. Come pitch tents on Friday, starting at 10 a.m. on the corner of Southwest 4th and Washington, and see for yourself what Right to Survive is all about. In this Right to Survive radio episode tonight, you heard from Robert Aguirre and Jose Saraguar on life in San Jose. Then Ibrahim spoke of the great work they want to do around tent cities in San Jose, and also about the International Japanese Film Festival, where our documentary on Right to Dream 2 was selected and shown to a large welcoming audience. The second part of our show focused on the thoughts of the members of Right to Dream 2 after having the opportunity to meet Robert Aguirre and other visitors that have traveled from across the country to the rest area. As your host, I want to take a minute to thank everyone for being a part of this show, and for our faithful listeners for tuning in to us every second Wednesday of the month at 6 p.m. here on KBOO. We here at Right to Survive value and love your support. We also have to thank our houseless singer, songwriter, musician, and producer of the song Homeless that we have played throughout this hour. And who didn't recognize Curtis Mayfield and Mike Crenshaw? Connect with us through email at righttosurvivepdx@gmail.com. That's r2spdx@gmail.com. Or on Facebook or our website, a work in progress at righttosurvive.net. We hold regular meetings on the second and fourth Thursday of each month from 5 to 7 p.m. at Sisters of the Road Cafe, located on Northwest 6th and Davis, right on the MAX line. Houseless Bill of Rights meets most Thursdays from 3 to 5 p.m. at Sisters of the Road. A statewide movement is on the first Friday at 4 p.m. at Sisters of the Road. Call us at 503-839-9992 to volunteer for any of our events or to donate your support.
Just like the city that stagger on the coastline, in a nation that just can't stand much more. Like the forest buried beneath the highway, never had a chance to grow. Never had a chance to grow. And now it's...
If you missed anything that you have heard tonight or would like to hear more from Right to Survive, we are on KBOO's archives on KBOO.com. Thank you, Ibrahim, for the great informative interviews. I'm Lisa Faye, saying be kind and help to make someone's day. Ramadan Mubarak. Until next time.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you
might.
Might
get you.
I want you to think it's
suicide, y'all, but we gon' change the game. I'm going in. Like a shank to the pancreas. I believe in the government with the faith of an atheist. Rebellious, like Chavez in Venezuela. My focus goes far beyond genitalia. Surgical, I go past cervical thresholds from beneath the earth's surface. Surpass UFOs, I thrust to the facade, sequestering God. Plumb to the depths, that's my quest and my job. I'm here to uproot the implants, dismantle the kickstand of a corrupted and busted illegitimate system. If you believe in revolution, you threaten with prison. Liberty or death, man, what's the decision? No moral ambiguity, all the ingenuity thoroughly directed at war in your community. No matter what they do to me, it won't change the fact. Freedom's a human right, it's time to take them back.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you
might.
That's it. This is Ibrahim Mubarak, your roving houseless advocate, saying toodaloo.
Doing what's right,
you might. Knowing that you
love
truth
might get you.
I want you to think it's
suicide, y'all, but we gon' change the game.
The time is now 6:58 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. We have a few announcements for you, and then your Wednesday episode of Hard Knock Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 16th Annual Village Building Convergence, June 3rd to June 12th, to take place in locations all over Portland. The Village Building Convergence is an annual celebration of placemaking, community, natural building, music, and art. During the daytime, there will be 35 natural building and public arts projects to take part in. During the evening, there will be food, speakers, musical performances, and more. Again, that's the 16th Annual Village Building Convergence, June 3rd to June 12th in Portland. Information on project locations, performances, speakers, and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Radio is a proud sponsor of the Diversity in Cannabis Networking Rally, Saturday, June 11th at 4 p.m. at the Village Ballroom in Portland. The first Minority Cannabis Business Association Networking Rally invites all who are interested in learning about the cannabis industry or networking with business owners, activists, medical professionals, and regulators. Again, that is the Diversity in Cannabis Networking Rally, Saturday, June 11th. At 4 p.m. at the Village Ballroom, 704 Northeast Deacon Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community.